Welcome back to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard, joined as always by Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got another good one to get over to get into with you folks because, well, the Tigers kind of knocks it out of the park. And I mean, based on the previous few weeks, yeah, I mean, we kind of completely dominated the game, which was great. Would have been nice to see a little bit more in the second half, but I guess we can get into that into more detail, but happy with the win. A lot of other interesting games in college football. Man, my dogs almost pulled it off, but happy to get into it with you guys. Hope you all had a good weekend yourselves. Yeah, another week gone by closer to this new playoff. And I don't know, man, I still don't know who we are. Still don't know who a lot of teams are, but good to wrap it up with y'all.
Yeah, good to be with you. Good to have talking about a pretty, you know, the best, I'd say, Tiger win of the season as far as, you know, how we looked. Maybe not the best competition, or definitely not the best competition, but right, best Tiger win. And I mean, don't look now, but I think we might have a running back.
Exactly. Four wins in a row for LSU feels pretty good. And each of those may be a step forward from the week prior. So a positive trend and reasons to be excited in Tiger land with a big matchup against Ole Miss on the horizon after this upcoming bye week. So a week to rest, relax, and enjoy some other teams in college football coming up here. Although the games aren't super exciting, but should still be fun. And yeah, so enjoyed watching the South Alabama game. And like you mentioned, the Georgia Alabama on the second screen at the same time, flipping back and forth. It was made for an exciting Saturday night of college football.
Yeah, I'd say that was a good upset with Ole Miss and Kentucky. Probably to some people, not all that surprising because, you know, Kentucky played Georgia tough. They played, well, they didn't really play Carolina tough. They just made our win look better. But yeah, I mean, they completely upended the Rebels, which I don't know. Yeah, that could affect the mood of our game. But I mean, it's going to be a Saturday night in Tiger Stadium. I think we all reset. We have a bye week, but I'd say looking at this game with against South Alabama, in some respect, I'd say we probably overachieved in what we wanted to do. I was happy. I got my almost 35-0 at half. It was 35-3. Yeah. I guess you got to take what you can get, right? Like I said, it would have been nice to see a little bit more in the second half. I mean, we only scored one more touchdown, and it's I don't know. I think like we left Nussmeier in really late for that type of game. So I mean, Ricky Collins did end up going in, but I think the Tigers had the game well in hand. And yeah, I mean, they only scored another touchdown after the half themselves. So I don't know. I'd say we were wondering what it would look like without some defensive personnel. It looked pretty good, right? Because we thought that they were going to give us a run for some points, but we held them in check for the most part.
Yeah, no, I mean, I did not expect, and maybe this is just me being a little pessimistic. Obviously, South Alabama's not, I mean, they're not the SEC team. They're not something, you know, some top 10, 25 team. But I didn't expect us to be as locked down as we were. I mean, we played really four quarters of solid football. We didn't, you know, there wasn't a time where, and we love to mess, you know, LSU historically has loved to mess around with teams way out of our competition, and we didn't do that. So I think that's a huge win for us, and really enjoyed seeing it. You know, now looking forward, I think it's something good to build on. I think that the performance of Caden Durham, huge deal for us, especially going looking at an Ole Miss team, which is, you know, a little bit on a downer after their loss to Kentucky. So it feels like maybe we might be on the upswing and they might be on the downswing, so we could catch them at the right time at home, off a bye. I like where we're at. It's probably the best I've felt about this team since maybe, you know, prior to game one.
Right. The story of the season so far is LSU getting off on the wrong foot to start the game, getting ourselves in early holes and deficits, then having to claw back out of that in the middle and second half of the game. And thankfully, we've done that with some success in the previous three games. But this was the complete inverse, where the Tigers came out with some pep in their step. Maybe it was the Saturday night in Death Valley, but they literally score on the first play with Caden Durham taking it to the house. You're like, all right, we're cooking now. Yeah. This is what you want to see. And then we get a quick three and out from South Alabama, and then right back to it, Caden Durham with 1.5 yard away from taking it to the house again. And then we plug in immediately. So it was 14-0 before you could blink. And then the game was pretty much locked up after that. Cause yeah, we were thinking maybe we danced with South Alabama for a little bit and pulled away late. Thankfully it didn't end up being like that. So we could focus a little bit on the other game, which saw Alabama racing away to an early lead against Georgia. But yeah, this is a really good performance overall. The biggest mistake came from probably the guy who's been the best for us so far this year in Garrett Nussmeier with the two, I guess you'd call them bad interceptions that he threw. But that really didn't hurt us too much in the long run as we piled up almost 700 yards of offense and he had over 400 passing yards himself. So can't blame him too much there. And yeah, Caden Durham really emerging as a primary option out of the backfield. And the defense holding them to only 10 points against the South Alabama. That's not lethal, but pretty good, which we discussed extensively. And they locked down the running back for the most part, even without Harold Perkins, who on the housekeeping note, we weren't sure of his injury status during the last podcast, but unfortunately out for the season. So we're having to do our best without him. But I was proud of the way the linebackers, Whit Weeks and Greg Penn and the others step up to fill his shoes. So definitely encouraging signs and things that hopefully we can definitely build off going forward into this 7-game SEC stretch to close out the season.
Yeah, I would say it was good to come out dominant so they could get that feel. I mean, obviously it's going to be way different when Ole Miss comes to town, but we got some momentum going, right? It's not like we came out flat against them or lost to Troy, like however many years ago that was. It's like we had a good solid win, kind of like we expect to see against way lesser opponents. But yeah, I think the fact that we did show up against a team that we probably expected to take a little graze off the chin just because of their previous success, but didn't happen. And I think for the most part, we kind of came away unscathed for the most part, right? Like we didn't have any other silly injuries or anything like that. That's kind of, you know, diminished our expectations. So we lost Perkins, you lost Guillory. You know, this would be the type of game where you'd see that, but we didn't. We dominated mostly with Caden Durham. I mean, I don't know how you could, I'll leave it remains to be seen, right? Like what kind of freshman season one could have, but he's already surpassed what we hoped. Like you said, we have a running back probably. But I mean, it's like, I think by saying that, you mean we have a running game finally. So Hopefully it sticks.
Yeah. Well, on that injury note, Caden Durham actually did come out of the game towards the kind of the later half and didn't return. So we'll see what his injury status was. There were some discussions online that might be dislocated toes, which sounds painful, but supposedly that's not too bad a recovery. They kind of just pop them in and then you're sore for a couple of weeks. So hopefully you should be good to go at Ole Miss, but yeah, we'll definitely need his spark.
Dang, and others. That does sound terrible. Someone who's dislocated digits before, never toes, but I've dislocated hands or fingers.
Hands.
Can you imagine dislocating your whole hand? Now that would be miserable.
I've never heard of that. I don't know if I've heard of foot, but I've definitely heard of, you know, dislocations. And no, it is painful because that's, you know, that's like a deep, that's tissue. Speaking of deep, I mean, are we ever going to see Chris Hilton this season? I'm okay if not, but it's just, it's like I said, all these, each game we've had guys go down. He's like, man, it still hurts, coach.
Yeah, so I think that one's a write-off on the profit and loss statement of LSU football so far.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, gotta love what we saw. Yeah, I'd say Garrett probably was a little either overconfident, out of air towards careless, and you saw Brian Kelly give him a faceful on the sidelines after that. So, yeah, he's got to be careful with that because that's not going to keep us in the game against the Alabamas or others in the world, but... still, I mean, he got his most yards in a game. Guys still look great. Running game was there. Defensively, yeah, we kind of fenced them in a little bit. So happy for the most part all around. Still, you know, improvements to be made, obviously. But we do have a week to rest up, heal, and game plan for Ole Miss. Now, they took one on the chin. They lost against Kentucky, but again, Kentucky, I mean, they I guess they haven't been a complete pushover, but I guess to South Carolina they were. But, I mean, it kind of sets up nicely for us because it will be an evening game in Tiger Stadium. I don't know if you guys saw this, but supposedly there's some people behind the scenes trying to write a law that you can't have a kickoff, kind of like in other places. I think Arizona it was. You can't have a kickoff before 6 p.m. So we're trying to enact something similar. Brian Kelly's, yeah, I'll sign it. Just tell me where. I got a pen right here. And he's ready to do that because what happened last weekend, nobody wants a repeat of. But, I mean, Ole Miss at home at night, I like our chances.
I would have said, Scott, you're crazy. I don't like our chances. I think, you know, this is a number six Ole Miss team that has looked really good this year, but after you know, watching us play and really just being, I mean, again, like, I don't want to overhype it because I mean, it's South Alabama, it's not the University of Alabama, but we finally executed on both sides of the ball in a way that I think is you know, will be competitive, and that if you can execute that way, you should be able to hang with anybody. The one note I would say, and I don't know if y'all noticed this, I'm getting a little tired of Will Campbell's stupid penalties. that's just a side note, and he's a 318 guy like myself, and I'm just a little upset with that. But I mean, there's no reason why the guy who's might go number one overall should be having just stupid penalties in his, like, I mean, this is really his contract year. I mean, this is, you know, this is his draft year. Totally unrelated, but it just popped into my mind. Other than that, I mean, we looked very solid. Ole Miss did not look solid against Kentucky. I don't know. I think you're right, Scott. I think you're onto something.
Right, because Kentucky was able to contain Ole Miss's ground game for the most part, which has been an underrated aspect of kind of the Lane Kiffin era at Ole Miss. And that's what unlocks them to do the kind of the downfield shots through Jackson Dart that they've been so vaunted for. And so if we can exploit a similar strategy where, cause our run defense has been our strength on the defensive side of the ball, Ole Miss is going to try and target our inexperienced corners and Ashton Stamps and PJ Woodland and the safeties who we've had an extensive discussion about the lack of talent there between Sage Ryan, Major Burns, Gilbert, and et cetera. But yeah, it's not an impossible task, obviously. Ole Miss lost at home, and now they're coming to Tiger Stadium in what should be a night game. They haven't announced the exact time at this point, but I think it's going to be between 5 to 7 p.m. kickoff Baton Rouge time. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that. You mentioned before we started recording, Tommy, that the Ole Miss loss does kind of dampen the prestige of the game a little bit, maybe, or the excitement where it's like undefeated Ole Miss coming to town. Like, can LSU take them down? But I mean, this is one of our biggest rivals, probably second to Alabama, I would say. So no matter what the records are, it's always one that you want to put a W on next year calendar.
No, I think that the main thing that just kind of, you know, I think that let's say we lose, it'll make our loss look worse.
Right.
But like, I mean, like you said, Scott, and I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid just yet, but I've got a bye week to get to start ingesting. I can talk myself into winning this game. And if we do win, then that's a solid win for a team that the AP poll just came out. We're 12th in the nation right now. You know, don't look now, but we're quietly, you know, marching towards being a top 10 team. We haven't talked about it yet, but you got an Alabama team that looks like world beaters. They're on our schedule at home. Maybe we're trending in the right direction. I'm not going to go ahead and, I mean, I got to give it some time to start saying we're going to beat Alabama or even compete with them. Cause they looked, especially that first half, they looked pretty stellar from what I could see. I was at the LSU game, but they had the screen, they had it on the screen. So I was watching it kind of off and on, but I don't know. It's I feel better now than I've maybe felt since before the season started.
Sure. I'd say a lot of teams could feel that way, even Georgia, right? Even though they lost this game, but that provided us probably like the game of the year so far. Of course, I still question why the Dogs, like, they got so far behind so early, like, what was it, 30-7 at half or something, and then They completely shut them down the second half. Go all the way. Shut them down the complete second half, except for a field goal. Take the lead, only to give it all back up on one play. I'm like, oh my God, that sounds like us, right? But yeah, man. Otherwise, I mean, who knows? Georgia could still be number one. I knew people were going to vote Alabama to number one. I think they're one in one poll, two in another. Texas still retained the top spot in one of the polls. But yeah, what a great game. It kind of showed the mettle of both of those teams. And yeah, like Georgia didn't drop far, even though they were behind 27 points or 23 points at halftime, right? It's like they still showed, actually, no, we can play with you guys. We were just messing around for 2.5 quarters for some reason. So I feel like LSU's, like, other than those teams, they've been kind of battle tested. Ole Miss is not. That's why they kind of got upended, I think. So now they got a week off to think about it. Then they come to play us. I think that's why I like our chances.
Yeah, right. And then on the Ole Miss front, they do play, I think, at South Carolina this upcoming week. So for anyone who wants to do a little scouting for LSU's upcoming opponent, you can definitely tune into that game. South Carolina, a team that we know well after we escaped in that one a couple of weeks ago in Columbia. So should be interesting there and see how the Gamecocks try and handle the Rebels. If Ole Miss loses again and comes to Baton Rouge as a two-loss team, that would certainly, I think, change the dynamic somewhat. But either way, it's going to be a tough test, and we're looking forward to it. But yeah, the Georgia-Alabama game, I had LSU up on the big screen on the TV, and that the Georgia game on my laptop, and I was with somebody, and we were watching every 2 seconds it turned around. It was like, Bama scored. They scored another touchdown. They scored another touchdown, and it was 28-0 before you could even blink, kind of basically mirroring the LSU game. I was like, this thing is over. And then I turned back in the third quarter, and Georgia's slowly churning it back. And it's like, hold on 1 second. This thing ain't over till it's over. So that was a furious last, like, 10 minutes of football, highlighted by Ryan Williams, the 17-year-old phenom wide receiver for Alabama's sideline, toe-tapping, 75-yard touchdown, looking like an all-pro out there before he's even legal to vote. where does Bama even get these guys? But we thought the Bama era might be ending with Nick Saban's departure, but Kalen DeBoer's got him rocking. I don't know if y'all saw the shots of Saban, like, in the booth once they were going up by, like, 28. He just looks as sullen as ever, like he does not care. He's still picking them apart from the booth, but that was definitely entertaining. And Georgia, they've still got a pretty brutal schedule left. They have still to play Texas, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. So I mean, it's not impossible for the Dogs to lose 4 games this season, which before the season you were like, this can happen. I don't think they lose all 3 of those games, but definitely not impossible. So a lot of football left to be played, but even on LSU's end, like we said, if we can get past Ole Miss, the schedule's not looking too bad other than that Bama game, which maybe you mark that down as a loss, but all the rest of the games, like A&M is kind of okay. Even Oklahoma, they've lost already, and Florida down year. Arkansas has actually done okay, but nobody who you're really like super intimidated to play. So we'll definitely see, but the season is not over by any stretch of the word, and excited for what's yet to be done.
There's a lot of teams that had their hands full, including A&M with Arkansas. That was close. USC had their hands full with Wisconsin. They were down 21-10 at one point. There was a lot. It wasn't just Ole Miss and Kentucky. There was a lot of other close ones. So I would say, any given Sunday, because Saints look great first 2 games. They look not so good now. But college football, there's a little bit more. I don't know. I would argue mostly there's a little bit more stability, because you can see that. It's like LSU's improved steadily over the few weeks. But yeah, it's like, could you really say that whoever they have ranked right now is absolutely the best team in the land? Texas, Alabama, who's next? Ohio State, even though I don't feel like they've played anybody. I mean, they did just play Michigan State, but I mean, are they really the third best team in the country?
I think Ohio State, of course, they're my pick to win the national championship, or at least they were before this whole thing started off. I would say about Ohio State, they get lucky in that they don't really get tested until the end of the season. But when they do get tested, it should be a legitimate test. I still think they're the class of the Big Ten. I know Georgia came back. And that was a, we could say, a quality loss for them, especially with the way it ended. But gosh, that Alabama team looked good. Jalen Milroe looked good. Like Daniel said, Ryan Williams, the freshman phenom, looked good. The poll came out. Alabama's now number one in the nation. I don't think there's anyone that would argue with that. And like Daniel said, I mean, they didn't even realize that Saban was gone.
Did you just say Satan on purpose, or was that a slip?
I think it was a slip. Yeah,
microphone glitch.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know, but here's the thing: is Alabama looked tremendous for that first half. Georgia looked great for the second half. So that's why I'm like, hey, if Alabama had continued to dominate that game, I'd say, you know what? I'd put them back as first in the country. I wouldn't have any problem with that being the sole vote leader for first place. But then they lost it. And Georgia, like I said, Georgia completely took over the second half, and then they gave it all away with one play. One play. It's like They got up, and then they got, like, I don't know if it was lackadaisical, what? Only they know. But come on, one play?
Mm-hmm. Came down to the last one, shot to the end zone, when another true freshman DB, Xavier Brown, made a nice pick off of Carson Beck to seal the game. That was kind of crazy.
Right.
It was one of those things where you kind of see it coming, like they're going to do the comeback all the way, and then Bama finds a way to win at home. The crowd shots were insane, like when Georgia was doing the comeback, and they would flash to the the student section, hands on the head, surrender cobras,
yeah.
jaws were on the floor, the pom-poms were not shaking, and then 30 seconds later, the stadium's erupting when they're winning. The students get what they paid for, I guess. Some of the Northerners coming down to Bama to watch a good game of football played.
Right, and speaking of in-zone dramatics, I know, Tommy, you're happy your Heisman hopeful is still kind of in the mix. Miami against Virginia Tech. I think the game was postponed because of Hurricane Helene, but man, came down to a Hail Mary, which initially was a touchdown. Virginia Tech was going to take it. Then they took it away from them.
I know. But other than that, I mean, still like you said, Cam Ward's still looking good. Miami's still looking decent. It's the ACC. I'm not, you know, they're not.
That's why you picked him, because he'll get the numbers.
He'll get the numbers. And, you know, am I surprised that you know, this Miami team is not is having trouble with a Virginia Tech team that, you know, if they're truly are like a top, you know, world beater team, they shouldn't have any issues taking care of business there. No, I'm not surprised. It's the ACC. But like you said, I think he'll be able to put the numbers up. Preseason Heisman pick, I said Jalen Milroe. I changed my pick to Cam Ward after week one. Either way, I think my picks are pretty good. So
on the note of my Heisman pick, Shedeur Sanders for Colorado, they had been kind of wiped off the media presence after an early loss, but they handled UCF in their first big test. Yeah. So Coach Prime may not be out just yet. Shedeur had a nice game, so maybe something actually is happening up in Colorado. But another topic I wanted to introduce, this was kind of a few days stale as of Saturday, but the big story of UNLV, their starting quarterback, who UNLV had come out to a hot 3-0 start, their first one in years and years, no more as a basketball school, but they were kind of in the hopefuls for the group of five playoff contender. And then all of a sudden their starting quarterback says he's done for the season, he's not playing anymore, opting out, taking a red shirt because he did not get the NIL payments that he was promised. And like, what? Sorry, school, but I'm not playing for you. And then very soon after that, their starting running back announced he was redshirting and transferring as well. And then immediately the team comes out and thumps Fresno State by like 40 points with their backup quarterback. So they keep on rolling. So maybe they didn't need him after all, but just wanted to see what y'all's thoughts were on players opting out midseason due to faulty NIL payments, which, although the agent came out and said he was promised $100,000, but then he never really got it. And then there was some confusion as to whether he had signed a contract or whether it was in writing or stuff, but kind of a crazy story developing, and not something you would expect even just a few years ago in college football.
Yeah, no, I think that I kind of just rolled my eyes when I saw it. And I think that this is not the first time something like this has happened. It's not as public, but I mean, that's the reason that A&M had the mass exodus. That's why what was that guy, Travis, Denver
Harris.
Denver Harris, not Travers Harris, but yeah, Denver Harris. That's the reason he came to LSU. Like, it wasn't now. I mean, of course, he was, you know, basically worthless, but you know, they A&M had promised all these great players the whole world, and then the NIL payments didn't come through, or the contracts were written in a way that they kind of, you know, sneakily promised them stuff that they couldn't deliver on. However you want to say it, but I'm not surprised. This is how that's college football in 2024. It's not really, I don't like it, but when I saw that, I was just kind of, I just rolled my eyes.
I did too. And I can definitely feel both sides. Well, the only side that, I mean, thinking of the guy that, you know, the quarterback, where it's like, this is why I came here, but they haven't produced on their ends. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, but I mean, like, you still have this bond, this camaraderie, whatever, this commitment to your team. I think I'd have played the long game and said, this is the year of the playoffs. If we go undefeated, pretty sure we could probably make the playoffs. And that's when you pull this kind of BS. Like, look, we're about to be in our playoff game. I want my money or I'm not playing. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on, bro. Let's just think about that, you know, because yeah, early in the season, yeah, he's like, they went on to win without him. But I'm kind of saying this in jest, of course, but I think I would have just stayed with it and given them time to kind of come to that. But yeah, at some point, I don't blame if he like sat out the bowl game or something, because obviously there was something told to him and they haven't produced. So who can blame him?
Mm-hmm. It does seem like a natural evolution of kind of the sitting out trend that was started
by Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, by Leonard Fournette of LSU in whatever year that was, 2017. No, it was after that, 2019.
No. Fournette sat out in 2017.
Yeah, 17. And he sat out the bowl game and then ended up going to the NFL. And then there was a lot of discussions of, oh, he can't sit out the bowl game, blah, blah, blah. And then we ended up having players sit out full seasons, especially around COVID time. Jamar Chase, notably for LSU, sat out an entire year, still went, I think, number 5 overall and has had a successful career in the NFL so far. And then that still continues. Like, Jaden Daniels sat out the bowl game last year after a Heisman campaign when people wanted him to kind of put a cherry on top and play that one. But now we've got people sitting out for money reasons. I'm sure that might have happened, yeah, in the background, like you mentioned with A&M, but not quite so publicly. No. And hopefully it's not something that continues to happen super frequently, but I definitely do see it happening again in some capacity. And it's definitely looking towards the future where it's like, definitely these players will be contracted in some capacity. And it's like, if you don't pay, I don't play, and vice versa. If you don't play, then I don't pay. Yeah. So it's kind of a sad way to go. And it definitely is not the olden glory days of the amateur sport. But it's college football, and they make a lot of money for the networks and the schools and now the players. So that's what makes the world turn around in college football 2024 and beyond.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah. Well, remains to be seen how, you know, if there's anything else that would happen like this year. I guess it's reasonable that it can happen. It's already been proven likely. So I don't know. I guess that we'll see if this QB kind of surfaces somewhere this season. If he, like, is he still like a part of the team? He's just choosing not to play. Like, he's.
Well, I'd imagine they tell that guy to kick rocks.
I doubt. Well, the thing was that he wanted to keep his red shirt, and they'd already played, I think, 4 games. And so he didn't want to play another game so that he can maintain his eligibility for another year if the opportunity arose. So I don't see him stepping foot back on the field again unless something drastic changes. And it seems they're okay with their backup, at least for now. So kind of tough luck for him.
Oh, well. Anyway, yeah, God forbid that happened at LSU or something like that, because, I mean, LSU offered, like, I think the number one player in 27. I don't know. You just got to feel like the higher up you are in the rankings, like, you just feel like, I gotta ask for money. You know, I gotta, what are you offering? Yeah. I'm born in Baton Rouge, grew up playing here, but this team next state over is offering me blank million. So yeah. Like, I'd feel stupid to say no to that just because I live here.
No, you're right. But I, I think that is something that you've seen Brian Kelly has kind of talked about. Like, that's not what they're recruiting for. It's what Nick Saban has said, you know, that's not what he recruited for at Alabama. And I think there is a selection process as far as trying to, you know, turn that off or shy away from those type of players. So yeah, you hope that we don't do that, but we'll see.
So this next week we're off, obviously a lot of good games, like you mentioned, Ole Miss going to South Carolina. I'd say another one I think could be interesting is, Missouri going to A&M. I don't know. I still think A&M's just, they're just waiting to go down in flames. They haven't yet. I don't know. You got Clemson going to FSU, which normally I'd say FSU this year so far, but I don't know. Pretty much rivals. They were the top two teams in the ACC last few years, but we'll see. There's Tennessee, Arkansas, which could be interesting. What else you guys looking at?
There's the rematch of last year's national championship between Michigan going to Washington in a Big 12 matchup, although Washington's having a little bit of a down year after the departure of their coach DeBoer, obviously having success at LSU, and Michael Penix now at the Atlanta Falcons. But that could be a good one. Also, another game that a lot of people would have circled before the season started is Clemson going to Florida State, who Florida State is now just in a dumpster fire. I think they're 1-4 at this point. So Norvell hot seat, definitely there. That one may not be quite as entertaining, especially Clemson after their beat down by Georgia at the beginning of the season has been looking pretty well. So they might try and put the hurt on the Seminoles. And then the College Game Day going to Cal Berkeley for the first time ever, as Miami visits them in a weird coast to coast matchup in a game that doesn't kick off until 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. So yeah. You better set your alarm clocks for that one and stay enough late if you're going to catch College Game Day. But so that should be interesting. We'll see if the nerds will show up for College Game Day or if it'll be empty. I imagine they'll muster up some folks considering it's the first time ever. So definitely a few games of note to watch. Alabama playing at Vanderbilt. Bama will probably take care of business there. And then UCF and Florida in a Florida matchup as well. So definitely some things to watch, even if it's not the most premium week of college football.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Cal team that that Miami game I think is actually pretty interesting. Of course, I'll be watching for my boy Cam Ward. Sure. But I think that this is a Cal team that, I mean, beat San Diego State at 21 points, beat Auburn, which Auburn's not great, but still.
At Auburn,
yeah.
And they played somebody else pretty well, even though they lost.
It was Florida State. That was their only win of the season so far, I believe.
Oh, there you go.
And that was when Cal kept talking about how they were going to bring it. They were going to bake it Calahassee or whatever.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah, I'm excited for that one. I kind of like the intrigue of the 9:30 kick. I'll be interested in that. I wouldn't mind having a little nightcap with that game.
Totally.
But I think all eyes for me will be on that South Carolina Ole Miss game. I want to see how Ole Miss bounces back. I want to see, this is a South Carolina team that we know, we played them and they're not slouches. I think they'll give them a game, especially at home. So, I'm hoping Ole Miss wins, but struggles, and that they don't get out easy, and that they'll come off this game, come off this week tired and kind of, you know,
right.
Splat. I agree.
And then hopefully that'll quiet their fan base down, because they're still crying about the refs against the LSU game, but I don't care. Sorry. Welcome to the Terror Dome. But I would say, yeah, it would be better for us, I think. Well, I don't know. I mean, we would have played and beat hopefully both teams, so it wouldn't matter, but I guess you'd rather knock off a team that has one loss instead of two. I get that. And California, I don't know, that game. Yeah, it would be interesting to see if there's, I don't know, there's just always something weird going on in Berkeley. I remember one time there were people protesting, so there were students like living up in the trees, and it's like you could see into the stadium. I don't know, it was just, not that it affected the game, but just weird protests going on out there. So yeah, there could be a lot of lively student sections, but just interesting place. A lot of good games have happened there too.
On that game, I've heard some comparisons to the, I think it was the 1988, like Notre Dame versus Miami, where it was the Catholics versus the convicts game. And so now with this one, they're calling it the communists versus the convicts. The educated communists, the political shade, but sure. Definitely some wrinkles there.
Did you see some of the tweets when they were playing Florida State that they were like, we're going to turn this into woke Campbell Stadium? They said they're bringing the woke agenda to come to Florida.
That's funny. Right in the state capitol, no less. But anyway, let's see. Anything else? I think that was it. I'd say maybe Alabama was on upset alert at Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt's looks so tough this season, but no, not really. They're favored by 24. I'd say that's about it. But yeah, LSU, I guess we'll record next week, so it won't, we could go over that game then.
Yeah, I think we'll do a full breakdown once we finish scouting Ole Miss, but overall things are trending in the right direction.
Amen. Any final thoughts?
Only one other thing is, yeah, hopefully everybody in the Western North Carolina area is doing okay with all the flooding and stuff. I'd seen the Appalachian State game in Boone, which is not too far away from Asheville, where kind of the worst of it was happening. That game got canceled due to the rains and flooding caused by Hurricane Helene. So hopefully they can recover and get things straightened, because some of the videos and stuff on social media are pretty disastrous there right now. So I guess football comes second in that situation. So hopefully they can figure it out and get help where they need it.
Definitely. Yeah, and it's just crazy. Yeah, it's like you would think in the mountains maybe there wouldn't be an issue with flooding, but obviously there is, especially if there's a dam that's breached. But, man, just like a whole town or a whole downtown area just wiped out because of a rush of water that's never, like, you never seen anything like that before. Prayers to them. Obviously, LSU and other opponents we've faced have all been through it. You hate to see it, but. You know, hopefully life can go on. So until next week, I hope everyone's recovering nicely. All listeners out there that were affected by Hurricane Helene. But until next week, we have a bye, but we'll definitely go over some other games with you and look forward to Ole Miss. Until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time on Talking Tigs.